Occupational English Test. Sample Test 2. Listening Test. This test has three parts. In each part, you'll hear a number of different extracts. At the start of each extract, you'll hear this sound. You'll have time to read the questions before you hear each extract, and you'll hear each extract once only. Complete your answers as you listen. At the end of the test, you'll have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part A. In this part of the test, you'll hear two different extracts. In each extract, a health professional is talking to a patient. For questions 1 to 24, complete the notes with information you hear. Now look at the notes for extract 1. Extract 1. Questions 1 to 12. You hear a gastroenterologist talking to a patient called Andrew Taylor. For questions 1 to 12, complete the notes with a word or short phrase. You now have 30 seconds to look at the notes.
Good morning, Mr. Taylor. Now, you've been referred to me because it's possible that you're suffering from irritable bowel syndrome or a related condition?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, could you start by giving me some background?
This has been going on for many years. After meals, I've always tended to get heartburn, but I found that pretty easy to deal with by taking antacids from the pharmacy. But a year ago, things suddenly got worse, and there were other problems I started to notice. The symptoms vary a lot, and they can be quite hard to describe exactly, but the main problem is bloating.
I see.
I need to tell you about some other things related to my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Although this isn't something that happens every day, I've been suffering from constipation in the last month. In the past, I've had the opposite problem and would rush to the toilet several times a day.
Mm.
I just never know how I'm going to feel from one day to the next. It's the way the symptoms are so unpredictable that I hate.
Mm.
It's hard to plan my life.
Were there any other symptoms unrelated to your stomach and bowel?
Well, I have a skin condition that can flare up, and I know this could be related to irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And the odd thing is that I often have migraines more or less at the same time as the stomach discomfort, and these can go on for days. It's strange, and I didn't at first think it was anything to do with my stomach problems.
Have you noticed anything that can intensify the symptoms in any way?
Well, I have a very demanding job as an accountant. I don't know whether this has a bearing on anything, but there's a chance I might lose my job in a reorganization of my department, so that's obviously something that's making me anxious. I don't know what's going to happen.
What's the worst effect the condition has on you?
The problem isn't just that it's nearly always on my mind, unless there's some pretty big distraction, but also that it's so draining. What I mean is, I often feel that I've got no energy at all. I just want to sit around and do nothing when I get home from work, to be honest. I go to bed tired, but I'm frustrated because I have insomnia much more than I ever did before. I wouldn't say I've been suffering from depression, but a condition like this can make you feel rather down.
Mm, right. And I understand that you've investigated the possibility that your diet's responsible for your condition. Can you tell me about this?
I was told by a nutritionist I saw that people with irritable bowel syndrome often don't eat enough fiber. In my case, I don't feel that's an issue. I've followed the nutritionist's advice about taking more fluids during the day, especially water, and accept that in the past, maybe I didn't do that enough. It's hard to say whether that's made a difference, but Possibly it's caused a slight improvement. Mm-hmm. I'd read that dairy products can make things worse, so I tried cutting them out, but I wasn't convinced it made any difference. I've cut back on caffeine, though not much, actually. I also paid for extensive food allergy tests, but they didn't show anything major, so that's not an area my doctor thought was worth investigating further.
What medications have you tried?
Well, I took something called an antispasmodic,
yep,
which my GP says helps to relax the muscular contractions which move food through the gut. But to be honest, I don't think it made much difference in my case.
Have you taken anything else?
Well, I've been given antidepressants, and I'm giving them a go. I wasn't sure I completely understood the reasons.
Okay, well, a drug like that targets the signals being sent to and from the nerves in the digestive system. It has a calming effect on the muscles there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that this drug was effective?
Yes, I'd say it was on the whole.
Extract 2, questions 13 to 24. You hear a hospital neurologist talking to a new patient called Kathy Tanner. For questions 13 to 24, complete the notes with a word or short phrase. You now have 30 seconds to look at the notes.
Hello, Mrs. Tanner. Pleased to meet you.
Hello.
Do you mind if we start off by getting some background to your condition? Just in your own words, could you talk me through the reason you're here and how it all started?
Oh, please, call me Kathy.
Right.
So, until 2 years ago, my husband was in the army.
Right.
We lived off base and I had a job which involved a lot of driving.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I was in the car, I noticed that my neck would get pretty stiff at times.
Right.
It was hard to turn my head.
Mm.
To cut a long story short, when my husband left the army, we moved to a new house. My neck pain was still a problem, so I decided to visit an osteopath.
Right.
He tried to fix the problem by a neck adjustment, but actually it just made things worse.
Oh, dear.
I found I was losing flexibility in my neck. I began to use a heat pad, which did help at first.
Good, but so not for long?
No. About a month or two on, I started to get this sort of feeling that something was pulling my head over towards my right shoulder.
Right.
It was painful and embarrassing because I couldn't keep my head straight.
Of course.
I'd managed to hide it from everyone around me until then. About this time, one of the doctors I'd seen thought physiotherapy might help and sent me to a nearby clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So I started going in regularly for treatments. And one day, the head of the clinic looked at me while the therapist was trying to position my neck and whatever.
Mm.
And he said, "You know what your problem is, don't you?" And I replied that I didn't. And he told me that I had spasmodic torticollis, and I had no idea what that was.
So what happened then?
So he says, "Oh, it's untreatable. You just have to learn to live with it."
Mm.
I went home in pain, feeling depressed and hopeless.
Yes, of course.
He was just so unsympathetic and unhelpful.
Well, I'm sorry to hear this.
Thanks. So my diagnosis of spasmodic torticollis was in June. So I began to research, you know, what I could do.
Mm.
I tried chiropractic treatment until December. It cost a fortune, but did no good.
Oh, dear.
The pulling and pain continued to increase.
Mm.
I saw a couple of neurologists and I was put on a drug called baclofen, but it really didn't make any difference.
Well, yes, that wouldn't do much for your condition.
Oh, right. Anyway, the one really good thing I did at that time was to join a support group for spasmodic torticollis patients, so at least I knew I wasn't alone with the condition. But mostly, I just sat at home a lot. In order to get a bit of pain relief, I got myself an orthopaedic chair, and that did give me some support.
Right.
In November, I saw something in a magazine in the medical section.
Mm.
It mentioned some new treatments being done at the University Hospital to treat things like spasmodic torticollis with Botox. We mentioned this to our GP, got a referral, and in December, I had the first injection in my neck.
Mm. And how did the treatment go?
Well, the injections really helped the pain, you know. My head returned to almost a normal position.
Right.
It did give me a few problems, like problems swallowing, but that was okay. I thought I'd received a miracle cure. I was devastated when everything started to come back like before, and I went back to the hospital in May. At this time, the results weren't quite as good, even though they'd upped the dosages. I ended up having 9 lots of injections, plus the, you know, various oral medications. So I can't remember what they were.
No, it doesn't matter.
But nothing really made much difference. I just got more and more confused, and loss of memory became a problem too. Just for pain relief, they ended up giving me a pump so I could give myself morphine. Finally, I saw something in my ST support group's magazine about a relatively new type of surgery being done by a local neurologist, and that would be you. So here I am.
And we will do our best to help you. Now, just a few more questions.
That is the end of part A. Now look at part B.